विष्णुवेरा गुणग्राही ना दखाये दोषा खय मानु वाक्य करी वैष्णव संतोषा। He always accepted the good qualities of Vaishnavas and never found fault in them. He engaged his heart and soul only to satisfy the Vaishnavas. We are reading this evening from the 8th chapter of the Adi Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Herein we find Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami glorifying with great feeling and devotion the personal associates of his own good self during his life in Vrindavan Dham. In Jagannath Puri resided Gadadhar Pandit, who from his very birth was intimate friends with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit, according to the Shastra, was the full manifestation of the incarnation of Srimati Radharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That Radha and Krishna, although the two aspects of the one absolute truth, appeared in the singular form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for three external reasons and three internal reasons. In order to establish the Yuga Dharma, the recommended process of self-realization in this age, of the congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna. The second external reason was, according to his promise in Sri Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samastapanarataya sambhavami jukejuke. In order to annihilate the demoniac, to protect the devotees, the pious, and to re-establish the principles of the religion, the Lord says he appears again and again in each age. And the third reason was to satisfy the loving call of his devotee. Sri Advaita Acharya, who was an avatar of Mahavishnu, appeared in the guise of a devotee. And he saw that the society all around was so much degraded. People, even the most educated people, were so much materially inclined. Their study of the scripture was only to get a good name as a pundit, or to get a reputation and lots of money as a teacher. They were studying the scriptures with the idea of following the various sacrifices of karma kanda, by worshipping various devatas, by performing various yajnas and rituals, pujas, they will have a better material situation, better wealth, better family, better home, elevation to higher planets. Others were studying the tantric divisions of the Vedas, many of them in very perverted ways. In this way, even the so-called spiritual people were so degraded. And what to speak of the materialistic people? They were spending so much money lavishly on grand, grand wedding ceremonies, but they had nothing to give to help propagate the Sanatana Dharma within society. Spending lavishly for all sorts of materialistic philanthropic causes, completely bereft of any understanding of the longings and needs of the soul. There was only a few rare souls who were taking to the path of devotion to God. And of those few rare souls, they were constantly being harassed, criticized, condemned by the people in general. So Advaitacharya was thinking, "My dear Lord Sri Krishna, only you can save the people of this world. Only if you personally descend and spread the glories of your own holy name will people take to the process of Hari Kirtan and be delivered." So Sri Advaita Acharya, he would go and spend his days on the banks of the river Ganges and very loudly cry out, "Dear Lord Krishna, please come. My heart is burning with pain to see the illusion of the human society, to see how they are wasting this valuable human form of life, simply living like animals, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, even in the name of religion, dharma." So the third external reason for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent is to reciprocate, to respond with the heartfelt, loving prayers of Sri Advaita Acharya. And the three internal reasons, as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, was that Lord Sri Krishna, in the spiritual world of Goloka, where he eternally resides, was performing a wonderful pastime. Let us understand first, what is this eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan? In this material existence, there are 14 planetary systems. 7 are lower planets, and 7 are higher planets. According to one's karmic condition, one can be elevated or degraded. The 7 lower planets, Patala Loka, are of a hellish nature, where intense suffering and punishment is inflicted upon those who are excessively sinful. This earth planet is a middle planet where there is not much pleasure and not much pain in comparison. There's Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka. These are planets, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, are planets where those who perform karma kanda and have very, very excellent karma, they can be elevated. Swargaloka planetary system. Indra and other great gods are living there. And we can live long life, where practically speaking, there's no disease, there's no pain, there's no fear. In fact, the pleasures there are so intensely satisfying to the senses that it's very difficult for such people to ever really want to escape from material life and take shelter of Krishna. But they are all conscious of Bhagavan as their supreme master. And they are all serving Bhagavan as their supreme master. But they are also enjoying life like anything. And it is said that they can engage in any type of sensual activities that they like in a very pious and pure way. Intense intoxications and so forth. And in married life, everyone is married there. There's no question of anyone wanting to renounce life there. But the last year of their life, they are pregnant and they give birth to a child. Until then, there's no pregnancies. And then, when their karma is used up, they come back down to the earth planet, or to a lower planet, depending on their karmic situation at the time. Above Swargaloka is Tapaloka, Mahaloka, where great saints and sages live, Siddhaloka. These are men or women who attain very, very deep renunciation, very profound knowledge of the Absolute Truth. There they live in the very, very high realizations, where everyone has tremendous mystic powers. And the highest plane of existence in material creation is Satyaloka. Lord Brahma lives within the Satyaloka. But above material existence is the borderline between material existence and spiritual existence. It is called Viraja. Those transcendentalists who completely detach themselves from all gross and subtle material desires, they only could cross over this border called the Viraja. And they enter into the existence called Brahman, the impersonal, all-pervading energy of the Supreme Absolute Truth. It is sometimes called the Brahma Jyoti. There, the spirit soul merges into this infinitely brilliant spiritual light. In that state, there is no more any consciousness of duality. There is no more any consciousness of personality or variegatedness. One is in more or less an inactive state of spiritual realization. There is no birth, there is no old age, there is no disease, there is no death, there is no suffering. There is just the ananda, the bliss of pure existence. But the Shastra explains that this Brahma Jyoti, is the spiritual sky. And on the higher platform of this Brahma Jyoti, or spiritual sky, is called the Paravyoma. That is the higher realm of spiritual light, wherein there are innumerable spiritual planets, called Vaikuntha. Each of these planets is completely transcendent to all material conditions. They are infinite, eternal, and unlimited. The only existence there is Satchit Ananda, for all things are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Krishna explains in Gita that beyond this material creation, in my abode, he says, there is no need for sun or moon or electricity of any sort to make light, because everything is self-illuminating, because it is pure goodness. Darkness is symptomatic of ignorance. This material world is a place of ignorance, because by nature everything is dark. We need something foreign to give light. Your body, this body of ours, it is basically ignorant. On its own, it's just dark. We need light bulbs to see it, or to be seen. We need the sun or the moon. But in the spiritual realm, everything is of the nature of pure goodness. There's no need for suns or moons or light bulbs. Every body gives off its own spiritual light. Every blade of grass gives off spiritual light. Every building, nothing is unconscious. Everything is pure conscious. Even the gardens, the flowers, the trees, the homes, they are all divinely enlightened spiritual personalities of the Chit Shakti, fully illuminated souls who are taking the roles of these various services. All pervading within the Vaikuntha planets. Everything is immersed in ecstatic love of God. Nothing is stagnant. Nothing is inactive. Everything is dynamically, spiritually growing at all times in ecstatic love. And all living beings there have divine forms resembling that of God Himself. And they are all immersed in the eternal loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Someone once said that, what do you do in Vaikuntha? You just sit and look at Narayan, and Narayan looks at you for the rest of eternity? Vaikuntha is not like that. It is a place of infinite loving exchanges. There's so many loving exchanges here in this world. And this world is finite and limited. What to speak of the loving exchanges in the spiritual world? There's never boredom. And even if we decided to just sit and look at Narayan for the rest of eternity, his beauty is ever increasing. And our appreciation for that beauty is ever increasing. So we would be in complete ecstatic, vital consciousness for the rest of eternity. But no one in Vaikuntha simply wants to sit and look at Narayan. Everyone in Vaikuntha wants to please Narayan. Our Param Gurudev, Sri Saraswati Thakur, used to say, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. This is the motive of all living beings in the Vaikuntha planets. To surrender to the Lord, to please the Lord, to love the Lord. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Narayan, is so all-powerful, so unlimited. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Saravakaranakaranam. The eternal transcendental senses of the Absolute Truth can simultaneously reciprocate with all living beings on an individual and personal platform in such a way that everyone thinks that God is only with me. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis, although there were thousands upon thousands of gopis in the Ras Lila, each gopi was thinking that Krishna, of everyone, he's chosen only me. How merciful, how kind, how unqualified I am, but he's chosen to give his kindness to me alone. In this way, in Vaikuntha, the Supreme Lord, with his infinite eyes, everyone is thinking, he's looking at me. And how many people are in Vaikuntha? Innumerable. In this way, there is no limit to loving exchange with Krishna, with Narayan. But in Vaikuntha, there is only one relationship, essentially, between all living beings and Sri Narayan and Lakshmi Devi, and that is service, that I am the obedient servant. And all of the various avatars, each of them have their own Vaikuntha planets. Those who give their lives in loving devotion to Kurama avatar, to Varaha avatar, to Nrsingadev avatar, to Ramchandra avatar. Each of those avatars have their own Vaikuntha planet where we could live eternally worshipping them as their divine servant. But it is explained in Shastra, especially Brahma Samhita describes very, very detailed information, that of all of these Vaikuntha planets, the planet of Goloka or Krishna Loka is very special. Why is that? Although all the various eternal divine forms of the Supreme Absolute Truth are equal, in Goloka or Vrindavan, the Supreme Absolute Truth gives the most freedom in ecstatic loving exchange. In Vrindavan, those who have transcended or gone beyond the ecstatic love as a servant, they can eternally reciprocate love with the Lord as a friend, or as a parent, or even as a lover. We should know that these relationships have nothing to do with material affection. These relationships are for those who have already transcended even the state of liberation from material attachment and illusion. These are the pure loving exchanges within the pure Satchit Ananda forms of the God and his devotees. After all, even in this world, because Gita explains in the 15th chapter that this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. He says, just like a banyan tree on a lake of water, the reflection of the banyan tree has its source in the original banyan tree. And what is the top part of the original is the bottom part in the reflection, and vice versa. So we should understand that all the symptoms of existence within this material world has its original, pure essence in the spiritual world. The difference is, in this material world, all of our attachments are conditioned by ignorance and illusion. But in the spiritual world, the same type of attachments and desires are pure. They are all motivated by unconditional love. Therefore, there is no question of material duality, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain. There is simply ananda. But in this material world, we know that to have a loving servant is something very pleasing. And to serve someone with love as their servant is very pleasing. But even the best servant that you have ever had in your home, is that love as intimate as your friends? The love of a friend is free. It's a free love. And more intense than the love between friends is the love between a parent and a child. And even more intense than that love is between the lover and the beloved. So we find these sakas like Sridhama, Subal, Stoka Krishna, Madhu Mangal, Arjun. They are all eternal friends of Krishna. And they have unlimited assistants who all have eternal loving pastimes with Krishna, herding the cows together, playing together, joking together, taking prasad together. And then you have in the Vatsalya Ras, Yashoda, Nanda, and all of their assistants. In fact, each one of the elderly gopis, they all have parental affection for Krishna. They all love Krishna in the same way that Yashoda loves Krishna and Nanda Maharaj loves Krishna as their own child. Krishna allows such love. And the gopis in the Madhurya Ras, they simply see Krishna as the foremost of lovers. But this loving relationship has nothing to do with the lust or the envy of this world. It is the pure expression from the deepest recess of the soul to surrender to Krishna by pleasing Krishna in this most free and intimate way. And of course, in this Madhurya Ras, the highest source of all love is coming from Sri Radharani, who is none different than Krishna himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayan. This means the one absolute truth, in order to transcendentally enjoy himself, has become two, Radha and Krishna. Radharani is the supreme lover, Krishna is the supreme beloved. Now, in the transcendental competition between the lover and the beloved, love always conquers the object of love. So Krishna was thinking that Radharani's ecstasy in serving me and loving me is greater than my own ecstasy. And I'm the source of all ecstasy. So the three internal reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared was, one is Krishna wanted to taste, experience firsthand the nature of Sri Radharani's love for him. And he wanted to experience the happiness that she derives in serving him and pleasing him. And three, he wanted to see what it was about himself that was so dear to Sri Radharani. So for these three internal and external reasons, the Supreme Lord Krishna appeared in this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Radharani appeared as Gadadhar Pandit. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of the love of Sri Radha. But the great Acharyas explain that when Krishna appeared with the Mahabhava, the love of Sri Radharani, that Radharani was thinking that I will also have to appear as I am just to protect him from his ecstatic conditions. And we find from the very childhood, Gadadhar Pandit was always very much sought after by Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya's mother Sachi, because of everyone, he was the one who could keep him under control. So Gadadhar Pandit had a disciple of the name of Ananta Acharya. And Ananta Acharya had a disciple named Pandit Haridas. And here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the qualities of this Pandit Haridas. That he always accepted the good qualities of Vaishnavas and never found fault in them. He engaged his heart and soul only to satisfy the Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the quality of a devotee of the Lord is adosha darshi. That means that he never likes to see other people's faults. It is explained that a honeybee always seeks honey, and a fly always seeks something dirty, like a sore or like stool. Huh? You have seen a fly. If you have a nice healthy body, if you have one infected sore, the fly will neglect every part of your body and just suck with great relish those infectious pusses. You have seen. Or if you have a beautiful, beautiful garden of flowers, and there's one piece of stool in that garden, the fly will completely ignore all the flowers and take great pleasure in drinking the juice from the stool. This is the nature of a fly. But a honeybee, even if you have a terrible sewage dump with all abominable substances, if there's one flower, the honeybee will neglect all the garbage and go right to that flower to drink the nectar from that flower. Huh? A saintly person is like a honeybee. He's always anxious to find the good qualities in others. And a materialistic person, an envious person, is like a fly, always anxious to find faults. When we drive through the streets of Bombay, sometimes we are seeing these advertisements for these society-type magazines, and you can't help from seeing them. And they're always advertising some scandal, huh? Some terrible, sinful, big letters, sinful scandal. And people by the millions buy magazines just to read about people's faults, people's fall downs. People love to hear about these things. Because like flies, even their own intimate friends, they're very happy when they do something wrong so they can tell everybody. Because they're envious. Envy is so deep-rooted in people's hearts. Most gossip is not saying nice things about people. Gossip is usually just all rumors. Have you heard that this person did this? And then he said that. Did you hear about that? Yes. But you know what else I heard? That he also did this. In this way, they become very enlivened. Enlightened. It's the enlightenment of a fly to hear the faults of others. And you pick up the newspapers. All bad news. All scandals. Huh? Politicians, what scandals they've done. The entertainers. Everybody. And people, they just in rapt attention to hear and to read these things. It is also explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that saintly people, they are like swans. They like to be in the clear, fresh reservoirs of water, drinking the nectar from the lotus flowers. And envious materialist people, they are like crows. They like to be where the garbage is. You'll never find swans picking through the garbage at a garbage dump. And you'll never find crows at clear, fresh reservoirs of water drinking the nectar from the lotus flowers. The subject matter that we hear and the association that we keep is what will determine our destination in life. If we associate with people who love to talk all gossip, fault-finding with others, then we will become like a crow or like a fly. Rivo! And if we associate with those people who love to come together to hear the beautiful glorification of Krishna, to hear the praise of Krishna's devotees, and to take pleasure in hearing such topics, then we become like the honeybee. We become a hamsa, a swan, because we become what we associate with. And therefore, satsang is so vitally important for anyone who wants to make any spiritual progress in life. Satsang is the place where we come to hear the nectarine philosophy and pastimes of the Supreme Lord and the glorification of those great saints who have given everything in the first service of the Lord. But if you turn on the television or read your social magazines or your newspapers, what will you get? You will simply get food for flies. So what do we want in our life? The whole society around us is filled with propaganda to fill our minds and our hearts with material information, to invoke material attachment. The more we have material attachment, the more we will be exploited by people who are trying to get something from us through our material attachments. Huh? It is so sorrowful. Our Gurudev used to say that the modern educational systems are like spiritual slaughterhouses, because they just fill young people's minds with all material conceptions which are simply taught to us with the motivation of better material enjoyment and deeper material attachment. In hardly anywhere, in any educational institution throughout the world today, even in this great land of Bharatvarsha, is there any development of character or moral values or spiritual ideals. In fact, in most countries of the world, these ideas are banned from the schools. They are illegal to even speak about religion or God or spirituality. So what will happen to these innocent young people when they come out if they don't have spiritual training and spiritual guidance? They will simply be like sophisticated flies and crows with big, big academic ideas, building bombs, building machines to pollute the water, pollute the earth, pollute the sky, pollute the minds of everyone. And parents they'll send their children with great enthusiasm to go to school and put all sorts of heavy pressures on them. Get good grades, get good grades, get good grades, pass your exams, do well. And when they want to come to satsang, don't go. You don't have time. Huh? What type of parent? Pitana says, Yajjananina says, Yat. The Bhagavatam says one has no right to be a parent unless you are going to lead your child to never take birth in this material world again. If you are not going to give your child that knowledge by which he's never going to take birth in this material world again, you are sinful to have a child. You are sinful to call yourself a parent. That is the word of God. That is the Bhagavad philosophy. But now, we want to make our children crows and flies. We have no sympathy for the needs of their souls. And when our devotees go to a college, not to take people out of their college, but just to give them some spiritual direction in life, the administration is threatened. Why you have come with all this useless spiritual information? This is Kali Yuga. We read in the Bhagavatam of the Gurukul of Sukracharya. Prahlad was part of that Gurukul, and his teachers were Shanda and Amarika. And they were telling Prahlad, you just have to learn all these nice material subjects. We will teach you everything. All about politics, all about material life, science, and all these other things. And Prahlad, he would tell his friends during the recess that Krishna is God, and we should all chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He would tell them that all these misconceptions will only make sense when we understand the goal of life. The goal of life is Vishnu. And Bhagavatam explains Dharmashwanushtata Pungsang Vishwakshana Kasarya Notpadiye Jyatirashim Shrama Evahi Kevalam. That whatever occupation you may perform, whether you be a businessman or whether you be a lawyer or whether you be a farmer or a laborer or a scientist, there's nothing wrong with any of these professions. Providing by practicing your dharma, you develop an eagerness to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And you utilize your capabilities for the service of the Lord. If your dharma, if your occupation is not directed toward the service and the pleasure of Bhagavan, Shamayevahi Kevalam, you have wasted your life. Nothing more to be said. You have wasted your life. Precious life. So Prahlad was speaking like this. But his schoolmasters, Chanda and Amarka, they were so much threatened that what if these students start listening to Prahlad? They will all become saintly. They will all become self-satisfied. This is terrible. We want to teach them only technical, materialistic subject matters. So they punished him. They expelled him from the school and brought him to Hiranyakashipu, who tried to kill him and murder him. In a similar way, when you go to the schools and try to explain to the students that there's a goal of life. You want to be a scientist? You be a scientist. You want to be an engineer? You be an engineer. You want to be a doctor? You study, be a doctor. But do it for God. Do it with a high principle of morality, with an ideal. A man is known by his ideal. A man with a great ideal is a great man. A man with no ideal is nothing. And our school systems today, they teach no ideal, no goal, no purpose. The more you know, the more harm you'll cause to others if your heart is not pure. Albert Einstein made his theory E equals MC2. And based on all of these theories, they created the atomic energy. He was actually a religious man. But what did they do with the atomic energy that he discovered? It went into the hands of people who had no ideals whatsoever, who had no morality, had no purification of heart. They took this scientific discovery, which had great strength and power within it, to make bombs, to drop in places where hundreds and thousands of innocent women, children, old people, unexpected pedestrians on the street were killed, and whoever survived were diseased with all sorts of incurable ailments. Is this what our modern education is meant to be? This is the education of flies and crows. Therefore, if we want to give real meaning, value, and purpose to life, to create a peaceful world, we have to add Krishna consciousness. We have to learn to taste the sweetness of Krishna's name. We have to learn to experience the fulfillment of sacrifice. We have to understand with our God-given human intelligence what is the truth and to discriminate between what is real and what is illusion. This is the basis of human civilization. And it is the utmost necessity in our world, individually and collectively. And such symptoms as we are finding here in the character of Pandit Haridas. This is what the world needs great. More than anything, such people who only look for the good qualities and never find faults, who engage their heart and soul only to satisfy the great saints. This is real education. Nirantara shune teno chaitanya mangala tanara prasade sunena vaishnava sakala. It is explained here in the next verse that he was always enlightening others by speaking the highest truths of the Supreme Lord, his philosophy, his pastimes, and the glories of his devotees. By coming together with the exclusive purpose of hearing and chanting the truth and the glories of the Lord, we can perfect this human existence. By regularly nourishing our hearts with the food of transcendental knowledge, whether we be sannyasis or whether we be grihastas is not very important. What is important is that whatever we do it in consciousness of Krishna. We do it in the service of Krishna. And this is natural for those who associate with saintly people, with devotees of Krishna. This is natural for those who regularly practice for the purification of their heart, reading the shastras and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Louder. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.